Genesis chapter 27, reading from the verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And in the next verses then we have the idea of Rebekah, that she would put the animal skins onto Jacob's arms, that whenever his father would believe that he was Esau, that Isaac would touch Jacob and would be convinced then that it was Esau, and then that he would also wear Esau's clothing. And we're going to break into the reading then again at verse 26, Genesis 27, verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. It came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting, and he also had made savory meat, brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and have taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And then we'll go down to chapter 28, Genesis 28 in the verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said unto him, that thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. We'll end our reading there, and we trust that the Lord will add his blessing onto the reading of his precious word. Turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're coming to the verse 20 this evening, where we have described for us the faith of Isaac and the blessing of his sons. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's wisdom as we come around his word, and to let us seek his face then, please. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for the message of the cross. Lord, we truly marvel every time that we come and survey afresh the cross of Christ. Lord, as we meditate and contemplate that great sacrifice for us, O Lord, we recognize that thou dost demand our all. We pray that we will not hold back for ourselves, but that we will freely give ourselves over entirely unto thy service. O, be pleased to grant us help as we turn now to thy holy truth. O Lord, we ask that these words of Scripture will be a blessing to our hearts, and that we will be strengthened through. Give that mighty help of the Holy Spirit of God. In the Lord's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. This commentary that we have in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 on great figures of the Old Testament is certainly very striking. There are times when we read through the Old Testament histories that we fail to discern much that the Lord would have us to understand concerning these men and women. So there are some men and women of the Old Testament that when we read of them in the Old Testament, we might well quickly write them off as failures. And yet here in this chapter, the Lord commends them for their faith and faithfulness. A most obvious example of that is in the life and ministry of Samson. We saw in our studies in the life of that particular man how so often he gave in to fleshly notions. And yet he is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 as an example of faith
And it is unlikely that we would have naturally noticed that in the book of Judges, had the Holy Spirit not revealed it to us in Hebrews chapter 11. Another example of that, surely, is this example of Isaac. And when we read through these great heroes of faith, perhaps we are surprised to read the name Isaac. I'm certainly surprised to read of his faith and how it is described in this particular text. When we think of Isaac, perhaps there are a couple of matters that stand out in our minds. That time in his youth when he was put upon the altar in Mount Moriah. Certainly we can see there his obedience to his father. There's no record of any struggle. Then perhaps the other most significant event that we read of concerning Isaac is that of the sad history of his favouritism of Esau. And how that favouritism brought great division into this particular home. And how that favouritism then led Isaac to greatly desire to give that blessing of Abraham, the blessing then that was upon him, to Esau. And that Esau then would be the partaker of that great patriarchal blessing. And surely that particular incident, and that desire that Isaac had to see Esau blessed and Esau receive the blessing, is one where the flesh was so evident in the life of Isaac. If you look with me, please, back in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, and we go right back to an event 40 years earlier than the time of the blessing, when Rebecca actually conceived and had the two children in her womb. And in the verse 22, the children struggled together within her. And we understand that in the womb of the mother, that the child, or in this case where there are twins, that the children do move. But even though she had never been expecting before, she understood that there was something very unusual in how these children were moving within the womb. And so she took the matter to the Lord, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. We find then the Lord's answer, and the Lord confirms that this movement was unusual. The Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner or two kinds of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." The elder shall serve the younger. And before then, these two children were actually born, it was revealed that the youngest of them would be the one that would have this blessing. That the youngest was the one that the Lord had sovereignly chosen to be his own, and that it would be from the younger that this greater nation, the chosen nation, would arise. Now surely Rebecca must have told that to Isaac. Surely she must have shared with Isaac that when these children were born, that it was Jacob was the one that God had chosen, and God had ordained to be that great head of the nation that would arise. However, as these boys grew, it seems that Isaac grew cold, spiritually speaking. And Isaac became one that began to demonstrate more of the flesh than of the spiritual man. He lost his spiritual edge during those years. His sword, we might say, became blunt. Certainly, in the years before that, Isaac had been a great example. You think of how he only had one wife. And out of so many heroes that we have in the Old Testament, here was one that had a very good example as far as his married life was concerned, that he only had one life, or only had one wife. And during those earlier years, it had been a very harmonious marriage. Remember how we read of how it was observed that Isaac sported with his wife. And so there was a closeness between them. Then, during those years after the children were born, Isaac grew distant from his wife. They were plotting one against the other. Isaac admired Esau because of his hunting. I want you to see that in Genesis 25 and the verse 28. Genesis 25 verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebecca loved Jacob. Do you think of that decision that Isaac made, whether he actually sat down and made a decision or not, but certainly he came to love Esau much more than he loved Jacob. And the reason is given. It wasn't that he had brought this matter to the Lord and had great spiritual discernment, but he loved Esau more because of the food that Esau would bring from his hunting. What a fleshly decision. Isaac failed to discern the good qualities that there were in Jacob. Jacob, we are told, was a plain man dwelling in tents. And that does not mean, some suggest that he was a sissy. That's not the idea of those words at all. But it's rather that he remained around the home. He wasn't a wise hunter, but he was there looking after the flocks, after the sheep and the goats, and his lifestyle then was not like Esau's. It was not wild and fleshly, but rather Jacob saw responsibilities. And of course, we're not suggesting that Jacob was perfect, far from it. He was the twister. But nonetheless, there were good qualities in him. If you come then to chapter 27, Genesis 27 and the verse 1, it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. And surely those details are not just true physically speaking, but it was true of Isaac spiritually, that his eyes had grown dim. He could no longer see clearly. And in light of that, then he took Esau quietly aside, and he said to Esau, "There must be a blessing passed on, and I desire that the blessing would go to you." And surely here again we see the flesh, and yet in this commentary, a Holy Ghost-inspired commentary in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, we read, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." How can that be true? In light of all that we've seen already, that Isaac was acting in the flesh, how can it be true that he was acting then faith? Where was the faith? Before I answer that question, I want to point out to you that there were three distinct stages in the blessing of the sons. The first stage related to the blessing upon Jacob when he thought that it was Isaac. And so the first part of this drama, as far as the blessing is concerned, was Isaac blessing Jacob, thinking that it was Esau. And then the second part relates to Isaac blessing Esau, knowing that it was Esau. But then there was a third stage where Isaac blessed Jacob again. And that is the beginning of chapter 28, where before Jacob left home and went to Laban's house, Jacob had this second blessing. Was there faith in that first stage? I think there was very little. It was chiefly done in the flesh. There was a fleshly intent, though the Lord was overruling, and Isaac was speaking prophetically. But there certainly was faith in the second and in the third stage. And in those second stages of the blessing, we find that it is absolutely true that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And we're looking then at the faith of Isaac in blessing his sons. I want to say first of all that his faith was aspiring faith. His faith was aspiring faith. What I mean by that is that Isaac had a very good aspiration. That it was Isaac's longing that his posterity would be blessed. Now the history of Isaac would seem to be less dramatic than the history of Abraham. Indeed, we could say that the history of Isaac was less dramatic than that of Jacob. Perhaps the most dramatic thing that we read of concerning Isaac is that time when he was upon the altar. Otherwise, Isaac lived a relatively quiet life. He remained a sojourner in Canaan, a stranger in Canaan. But he lived in relative quietness. We know from Genesis 26 that he was greatly enriched there, perhaps to an even greater extent than his father Abraham. And yet while Isaac didn't have that variety of experience that Abraham passed through, he saw something that was absolutely vital. That the legacy of a man of God, it does not lie in how much capital he has gained. The legacy of a man of God is not in how much money he leaves behind. It is not in how extensive his farm is. There is something much more important. There must be a passing of something that is of value, of something that is of lasting value to the next generation. And even during those years of spiritual dimness, when Isaac may and did lose sight of something of the importance of leaving a strong spiritual legacy, he still had this desire of passing on blessing to the next generation. If you look at chapter 27 and the verse 4, and make me savoury meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And for all of Isaac's faults, here must commend that he desired that Esau would be blessed. He desired that this next generation would indeed have blessing upon it. I want you to think of that. That in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 20, where we're reading of Isaac's faith, one matter that is brought to our attention is this matter of blessing his sons. This was the one thing that Isaac is to be most noted for. Was it an insignificant thing that his sons were blessed? In the eyes of the world, of course, they would say, absolutely yes. The world would want to read something about riches. The world would want to read about defeat of enemies or about great honour. But the Holy Spirit says he was a man of faith because he blessed his sons. And surely there is a lesson for us there, that if we are to have the faith of Isaac, we are to be those that have this aspiring faith, longing that blessing might be imparted by us to the next generation. And if in the end, child of God, when you leave this scene of time, if you have influenced the rising generation for good, if you have influenced the next generation for God, you will have left behind a good legacy. If that is all that will be said of you, by faith so-and-so blessed a rising generation, then you will indeed have left behind a legacy that has the stamp of God's approval upon it. Though Esau did miss out on that patriarchal blessing, he was not blessed in that same sense in which Jacob was. Nonetheless, there was still a blessing for him. If you look at Genesis chapter 27 and the verse 39. In Genesis 27 verse 39, "And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of heaven from above. And so Esau and his descendants, the nation of Edom, were to be blessed in this sense, that they were to have this fatness of the earth. They were to know great productivity, and they were to know fruitfulness, and the place that the Lord would provide for them would have in it areas that would be very productive in agriculture. The dew of heaven from above would be upon that particular land." And if you look back at verse 28, you'll see how that corresponds very closely to part of the blessing that Jacob was to receive. "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine." And just then, as Jacob was to be blessed, and that the nation of Israel would conquer Canaan, and they would have that land flowing with milk and honey, so then the nation of Edom would also have a physical blessing. They would have this productivity. And Esau then was the partaker of what we might call common grace, common blessings. Psalm 145 verse 16, where it says, "The Lord openeth thine hand," and the Lord opens his hand, that is, "and satisfies the desire of every living thing." And so the Lord looks after his creation. The Lord provides for his creation. Even reprobates like Esau, they are provided for. And there is an aspect in which they are blessed, in that they receive good from the Lord. "He maketh the sun to rise in the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." For Esau, those blessings would actually add to his guilt before God, for it left him more without excuse than ever. As he partook of temporal and physical blessings, he had before him a testimony of God's love. And despite the fact that Esau was so stubborn and hard-hearted, the Lord was still showing kindness. It compounded the justice of God in God's condemnation of Esau. So while Esau was blessed, Jacob's blessing was much superior. If you look then at chapter 28 and verse 3, "And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham." And here was the great distinction. They both would have the dew of heaven. They both would have great physical increase. But upon Jacob only was the blessing of Abraham. Galatians 3 verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And here were two young men, Jacob and Esau, both physically sons, that is, grandsons of Abraham. But only one was a true son. Only one was a spiritual son. And it was only Jacob then that had this blessing of Abraham upon him. And this is what we must yearn for then, for our children. It's all good and well to desire that our children would be physically blessed. There's no problem in desiring that that physical dew would be upon our children, that they would be increased. We must desire above all else that they would have the blessing of Abraham, that they would be children of faith, that they would be partakers of God's special
grace.
What does it matter if our offspring were to attain a first honours degree? What does it matter if they become the managing director of a large firm? It counts for nothing. But it counts for everything if they are children of Abraham. If they are those that are true sons, that truly love the Lord and stand for Him and walk for Him. And here as we think of Isaac the father, he was blessed. He had a great heritage. Being as he was the son of Abraham. And yet with great blessing came great responsibility. He had that responsibility to see that he would influence the next generation for good. Surely we can say of each one of us that we have been greatly favoured, that we have been greatly privileged. With those privileges comes great responsibility. That we might see that we have that duty to pass on a good legacy. That we might let go of our own ambitions, our own desires, our own plans, that we would desire the best for a rising generation. And what would be chief for them is that they might have this blessing that Jacob had. That they might indeed be the true sons of Abraham. His faith then, this faith of Isaac, was an aspiring faith. But I want to see secondly that his faith was an adamant faith. When we think of the opening part of Genesis chapter 27, we find that Isaac there was a very stubborn, fleshly man. And there he was adamant about something, and that is that Esau would have the blessing. And so he took Esau aside privately. And he whispered, as it were, to Esau, "I've got this plan, and you're to go hunting. And you're to bring back the meat, you're to prepare it in the way that I love it, and then I'm going to bless you." And as he had that plan, as he revealed it to Esau, he refused to relate that particular matter to Rebecca. Rebecca only came to know about it because she overheard that conversation. And so if you look with me at the verse 5, Rebecca heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And so we find here that Isaac was stubborn, and he was determined that he was going to get his own way. But the Lord most wonderfully intervened. The Lord overruled against Isaac so that his plans would come to nothing. And although we cannot commend the deception of Rebekah or the deception of Jacob, God did overrule to overturn those plans of Isaac. And so Jacob put on Esau's clothes, he put on the animal skins, and he deceived his father, and thereby the blessing was given to Jacob instead. Now when then Jacob went out and Esau came in, Esau came and he was requesting that his father would partake of the blessing and, partake of the venison, and then that he would give this blessing. Verse 32, Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" He said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. Isaac trembled very exceedingly. And I want to ask you the question, why did Isaac tremble? And actually the Hebrew there is very expressive. Isaac trembled with a great trembling, greatly. This was no small trembling. Some say that he was trembling because he was afraid of what Esau was going to do. I think we'll see in a moment or two that wasn't the case. Because though Esau tried to pressurize Isaac, Isaac would have not. And so Isaac wasn't trembling out of fear
of Esau. I believe Isaac was trembling before the face of Almighty God.
And that day, as he sat in the tent, and as Esau came in, and he said, "Here am I have come with the venison."
Isaac, he was taken back, he was aghast.
He thought that his plan had gone so well. He thought that he had engineered matters to overrule God. And he thought that now God was going to have to change his mind. And that God was going to have to take Esau after all. And so Isaac thought, "What a clever man I have been. I have overruled, and now Esau is going to be the father of the nation."
Suddenly he realizes that God has overruled him.
Suddenly he realizes that Esau can't have the blessing. And so then Jacob has got the blessing after all. And in that then Isaac trembled. He trembled before Almighty God. And here was a turning point in the life of Isaac. Here we might say was Isaac's moment of restoration. Here the backslider was restored. The fleshly man was restored to being a man that had a heart after God.
How do we know that? Because Isaac became adamant in another direction.
At the beginning of the chapter, he was adamant that Esau would be blessed, and that Esau would have the patriarchal blessing.
Now he was adamant that God's will would be done.
Now he was adamant that the patriarchal blessing would be upon Jacob, and Jacob only.
If you look with me at the end of verse 33, Isaac says that he has blessed him, that is, he has blessed Jacob, yea, and he shall be blessed.
You think of what he's saying there. I have blessed Jacob. He's saying to Esau, it's not going to change. That's how it is. Jacob is the one that will be blessed. The words cannot be taken away. The words cannot be changed.
And Esau, he begins to plead.
And he says, will you not bless me?
He not only pleads, he turns on the waterworks. So he has this cry in verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father."
And he was trying his very best to encourage Isaac to renege. At the very least, to give some blessing unto Esau.
And if we read on, we see that what Esau desired was not just some blessing, but he desired to have that place over, that place of superiority over Jacob.
His tears were not tears of true repentance. He was only sorry that he was losing out. Esau did not repent of his fleshliness.
And if you look then at verse 39, Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven above."
There was this physical blessing, but that's where it stopped. The next verse, it begins with the word "and."
It could equally begin with the word "but." "But by thy sword shalt thou live, and," or "but, thou shalt serve thy brother. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." He would serve.
Just as the Lord had said 40 years before when Esau was in the womb, the elder would indeed serve the younger. Jacob then, he had the blessing. And as Jacob received this additional blessing in chapter 28, and as Isaac added, as it were, to that blessing, we can see this great determination, positive stubbornness, if we want to put it like this. He was adamant that God would have God's way, and that Jacob, therefore, would have the blessing. And so then, as Isaac's heart was now yielded up to God, and Isaac now was submissive to the will of God, he was now unyielding to his own flesh. He was now unyielding to the world and to the pleas of men. Before that, he had been yielding to his flesh. But now he was saying to the flesh, "No, I am surrendered to God. God will have his way." And that's how Paul exhorted us that we are to live. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable." Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Don't be shaken. Be resolute. Be adamant. And this then is the faith of Isaac. And this is the faith that we are to desire tonight. We are to desire that we would be adamant like this Isaac. I want to say this faith was not only aspiring and adamant, it was also anticipating faith. In Hebrews 11 verse 20, as it speaks of the faith of Isaac, it says he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Concerning things to come. And as these two men then were blessed, the blessings not only related to them as individuals, but it actually related to the nations that would flow from them. And so the blessing upon Esau would relate to Edom. And the blessing upon Jacob would relate to the nation of Israel. And there are great prophecies then that were to be fulfilled in years to come. If you look at verse 40 of Genesis chapter 27, "By thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother." And it is true that the nation of Edom came under the bondage of the nation of Israel. And from the reign of David then, right until the reign of Jehoram, in 2 Kings 8 verse 20, the nation of Edom was under the yoke, under the control of Israel. But then we read at the end of that, verse 40, "And thou shalt have the dominion, and thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." There would be a breaking free from Israel. And in the reign of Jehoram then we read in 2 Kings 8 verse 20, we'll not turn to it tonight for time, but we read of how Edom did indeed break from that yoke. And so God's word was indeed fulfilled to the letter. There are then wonderful prophecies here concerning these two nations that were to be fulfilled in years to come. But the greatest anticipation was not merely concerning the nations, but it was concerning the appearance of Christ. If you look with me in chapter 28, Genesis 28 verse 3, "And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham." The blessing of Abraham. And that blessing of Abraham was not only to be then that this nation of Israel would arise, but it was that from that nation, from the line of Jacob, would arise the Messiah. And through the Messiah, there would be that spiritual seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all those that would truly believe. If you look with me over in the book of Galatians, in Galatians in chapter 3 and the verse 14, and in verse 13 it speaks of how Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, because he was made a curse for us in Calvary.
And in verse 14, Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ.
The blessing of Abraham would only come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. And therefore, as Jacob was blessed, there was this anticipating faith in Isaac's mind. That is, that from Jacob would come the Messiah. That the Messiah must arise in order that the Gentiles might be blessed. And those great promises that God had given to Abraham, that the nations would be blessed through him, they could only be fulfilled through Christ.
That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In verse 29, it says, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And there is a very real sense then in which Jacob stands as a type of Christ.
Remember in that first blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob, not knowing that it was Jacob. Jacob spoke of how nations would bow down.
If you look at verse 29 of Genesis 27, "Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee."
And there is that wonderful type then of Christ. Remember how in Psalm 2 it says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son, bow down before him, submit before him." And as we have prophesied in that psalm that the nations would come and bow before the Son, it is this same prophecy.
"Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee." Jacob points to Christ.
And thinking then of Isaac's faith, his faith was anticipating faith. It anticipated the coming of the Messiah, the dawn of Christ. And all true faith then has this anticipation at its heart. The faith of us as children of faithful Abraham, we anticipate the dawn of the Messiah. That is his great return. We anticipate that he will come again. We preach in light of it. We are to live in light of it. Isaac's faith then exhorts us today to be in that great state of anticipation. What a restoring time this was then for Isaac. As I have suggested to you through the message, Isaac had been cold. His spiritual eyesight had been dim. But in his restoration, he got his attention upon Christ. And I believe it's very significant that in that first occasion when Isaac was blessing Jacob, believing that it was Esau, that in that blessing, Isaac failed to mention everything. And so the matter of the blessing being the blessing of Abraham, he didn't actually mention that. And to me it gives the impression that even in that time of spiritual dullness, he knew that he was not right before the Lord. And even in his desire to get his own way, he knew that things were not quite right. So he stopped short. But it was all remedied whenever his heart was dealt with. And so he had to call Jacob back again in chapter 28 and say, "Look, here is the blessing. You will be a multitude of people. You will have the blessing of Abraham. You will inherit the land." Isaac then, in that coldness of his heart, he had his attention drawn back to Christ.
And oh, that would be our experience this evening. That in our coldness, that in our wandering, and that we might be brought back in our minds to see Christ afresh, all of his love for us, and that we might anticipate that great dawning day when he will come again, and that we might yearn after it. We trust the Lord will take these words and bless them to all of our hearts. Amen.